From the mean streets of Essex, England, broadcasting around the world, this is Whatcast.
Hello, yes, this is Whatcast. It's a Friday. I thought I'd put this out as like a bit of a special show. I was throwing the idea around in my head. I'm Matt, by the way, if you've never listened to this before. I was throwing it around in my head whether to put this out on a daily what over two or three parts. Because that's kind of what I want to be doing over there. If you're not subscribed or following at the Daily What, go follow there. I'll drop the link in the show notes if you can't find it. But wherever you get your podcast, The Daily What. It's not daily, but I do a lot more shows over there. Thank you to everybody that's gone and followed. The numbers are going way up. The subscribers are going way up. I wanted to kind of like put things like this on there, what I'm going to be doing here today, what I've done, the recording I'm going to be playing today. So I sometimes, occasionally, not really recently, but I did on Tuesday, I think it was this week, Tuesday or Wednesday, go and do TikTok lives and do a live debates with people, and always Flat Earthers jump up, and Flat Earthers did jump up because they don't like me very much. And just to let people know, if you go to Whatcast YouTube, I'll remind you at the end of the show, hopefully, if I remember to. If you go to YouTube, Whatcast on YouTube, Whatcast Podcast, the Flat Earth segment of the recording I'm about to play, there's no Flat Earth on this show today, right? Just to let you know, I can't put everything out on podcast. Flat Earth stuff and other things like that, some of it's just going to be exclusively on YouTube. Some of it's going to be exclusively on the Daily What, but because I didn't really know where to cut this into thirds, it's about a 45-50 minute conversation today. I'm just putting it out on Whatcast because I've got the time to do it. But there's a Flat Earth debate that happened just before this, what you're going to hear today, that I've put out a video of, an actual video of me sitting there debating these people on YouTube. So go check that out if you haven't already. Just go subscribe to our YouTube. So I do these lives sometimes.
China.
So just get these out of the way.
It is cognitive dissonance.
On TikTok sometimes. And I try to avoid flat earthers. So many flat earthers on TikTok, right? So I've now got a backdrop on my lives that says, which conspiracy theories do you believe? Because then you open up a can of worms. There's all different type topics could come up, and then I can put them on the show or on the Daily What, depending on how long the guests are for. Like generally, guests jump in and out. There'll be a 15-20 minute conversation. If that happens, I'll stick it up on the Daily What if it's worth putting up. If longer conversations happen like this one today, then it'll probably go out as a Whatcast or just on YouTube or as a video version. I actually don't know. But you meet some interesting people, and you never really would have these conversations, and you're kind of stifled in a way because of the platform that you're on. TikTok is very sensitive to certain words, which is why you'll hear people saying stupid words such as unalived rather than killed or dead. Including me, you have to learn to say these things or they'll shut the live down, ban your account and all this sort of stuff. And also, the good thing about it is you kind of, like, the way I'll do my lives, I have quite strict rules on my lives. Like, I'll never have more than three people and me on. Like, I'll never have more than four in total, generally two or three, just me and someone else or me and two other people. And I'll let them debate and I'll kind of moderate and chime in and stuff. But also, like, I always want to allow people to speak. I want people to make their argument. I don't want to just fucking argue with people. We clash a few times on this today, but it never gets nasty. I disagree with a lot of things that are being said. But I try and do it respectfully, as respectfully as people are speaking to me, because they're being respectful. If people's going to come in and be a dickhead, like, there's a guy in here called Lewis. He is a gay lefty, seemingly. He's definitely a gay man. He said he was a gay man. And he comes across left wing, but I may be wrong about that, but he's definitely got left leaning tendencies. And I don't agree with some of what he's saying. We get into the trans issue. It went into the sexualization of children conversation, which we disagree on, obviously. Well, we don't actually disagree because he wasn't saying anything about agreeing with it. But he says things that I feel I need to intervene on. It didn't go into the marginalization of women, which really bothers me as well about the trans topic. It didn't go down that road. So there was no need for any kind of clashes there. We also go into the Ukraine-Russia war and some disagreements with that. Also a guy called Ian is on. All three of us are on for the entire conversation. Ian is an ex. Still a bit like me, I think. Still kind of like in the conspiratorial mindset. Still thinks there's a lot of fuckery in the world. But has realised how futile it is to think you know everything and to talk to people like shit when you literally don't have any information other than some videos you're watching, which is a fucking what people do all the time. Like, question everything 100%. Is everybody, our government's lying? Yes, about lots of things. I'm sure they fucking are. Is there potential things that are in our future that we do not want that are hiding from us? I would say 100%. Absolutely. But is everything a conspiracy? Is everyone a Satanist? Are they all lying to us about everything? Is the earth flat? Is everything scripted? Is the numbers embedded into everything? No. And it seems like he went down quite a dark conspiracy hole. And although he's not saying that he doesn't believe these things are potentially still true, he's realized that he doesn't have all the answers, that he doesn't know what to do about it anyway, and it was causing him lots of problems in his personal life, and he's chose happiness over paranoia is the way I would put it. So this is Ian. It's a really unique three-way conversation because everybody stops and is polite. No one's speaking over each other. We're all letting each other air our views, trying to be as respectful. You know, I'm sure that lots of people with different opinions will be listening to this and going, fucking hell, why didn't this person say this? Or why are you letting them? But you've got to be respectful for two reasons, because respect is it's how you have a worthwhile conversation and how you can hear other people's point of view and let them get them out properly. And secondly, and most importantly, TikTok would ban the life if you get aggressive and start over-talking and calling people names and getting really angry with what each other's saying. The life will take it down and my account will go. So you kind of, not forced because no one was being rude, but you have to be respectful, and you can respectfully disagree and give your point of view and just listen to what each other are saying. So, yeah, just to reiterate, what are we doing here for time? I don't want to be 10 minutes just to get into it. So it's about a 45, 50 minute conversation. I'll be back at the end anyway. Patreon next week. We'll be going out this week. I think we're doing there's five missing guys in the, I can't remember what the show was called now. We'll be doing that show anyway, myself and Lee, back on this Sunday. Next Sunday is the Patreon show, so there won't be a Whatcast. It'll just be on Patreon for those lovely people that support this podcast, patreon.com/whatcast, and that will be the Royal Family Conspiracies throughout the years, modern day, very modern day, and ancient conspiracy theories for going hundreds and hundreds of years back, of all conspiracy theories, about 40 of them from the royal family over the time. Also, if you get on the Patreon, it's 9/11 deep dive, 7/7 deep dive, Madeleine McCann deep dive, Jill Dando, the Clinton body count, the Obamas, Nickelodeon. If you've been watching that show that's been on Discovery Plus, they're way behind Whatcast. We did a Nickelodeon child trafficking or child abuse. Nickelodeon and Disney, we did that months ago, myself, Amelia and Lee. So yeah, anyway, on with today's show then. I'll be playing you the
Babbling about,
exactly, Nathan. We'll be playing you that clip right now. Myself and Ian, the ex conspiracy theorist, or kind of, you know, calmed down conspiracy theorist, and Lewis, who was kind of contrary to general points that me and Ian were making, but you know, definitely not extreme in any sense, just kind of, it's interesting. It's, I always find it interesting to hear rather than just shutting people down as soon as they start to say something you disagree with, which you hear far too often. Let people tell you and explain why they feel the way they do. I found it very interesting. I thought it'd be a great show. So let me know in the feedback what you thought of this show. And let's get on with it right now. What can I play to play us in there? Oh, I know what I'm going to play.
Hello, ladies.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello, how are we doing?
Good. What's your input on this?
I think it's a very varied topic, and this guy at the box is obviously, he's very switched on. Like, I've only just been listening to him 5 minutes, and
you'll get bored of me soon, don't worry.
Not at all. I love hearing the other side. I've gone through the whole in and outs of conspiracy theories, and my God, chattered till 4 o'clock in the morning sometimes on TikTok. Just got ridiculous. And you just have to, I think sometimes you have to realise that, what do you do when you wake up in the morning? Do you go to work? Do you come home? Do you look after your kids? Do you go to McDonald's on a Saturday? And that's what you do. And I think it's very simple of, things do happen that you don't know about. And if you do find out about them, then people start kicking off. And I think you just have to look over everything and realise that what you're actually doing is, you'll never work it out. So just enjoy it and be here and crack on. Make sure your kids are okay. Make sure your family's okay and people that you love around you are okay.
Oh, you're such a sheep, Ian. You're such a sheep. This is what I would be told if I said that to people, right?
Like, what does that mean?
Exactly. This is what they say. So this is what makes me laugh. When you watch people on here that are banging into conspiracies, especially the flat earth and everything we've been talking about, they'll sit on it. There's one guy, he's such a prick. He's got so many different accounts. He goes live. He's probably sitting in an hour under one of his accounts, but he sounds like some kind of a farmer or whatever. But he sits here going on about how we should live off the land, don't trust what you eat, don't trust, go off the grid and all this shit, whilst on his phone on a live, not doing any of the things he's telling everyone else they're stupid to not do. And this is what I find with a lot of these people. That I've known so many conspiracy theorists. Like, I'm skeptical about a lot of things, but people that live for this, like conspiracy theories, they are always such experts on everything, but they don't do. They don't take any of their own advice. They just tell everyone else what they should be doing. You should do this, but you're not doing this. Yeah, but I'm not doing it because of this reason. Well, everyone's got a reason to do exactly what you just said, Ian, and just get on with it. And we don't know the fucking answers. Like, what?
I think
arrogance.
That's half the trouble, because I think they half expect. Listen, I do not want to come across in any kind of like bad way, but I've gone through it, I've come out the other end, and I'm saying this now because I can't be arsed with it. Because basically, it's almost like once you do start going down them rabbit holes, you all of a sudden are literally labelled as conspiracy theorists. And if you start saying to everyday normal people, your friends, your family, some people would take you on, and that's fair enough. And then they'll start going down their rabbit holes, and then you start going down their rabbit holes. And it's like a very dark hole, a very, very dark hole. And my wife's a teacher, and she just said to me one day, she said, shut the fuck up. That's what she said. I'm sick to death of it. I said, but what about the jabs? What about this? What about that? And she says, what are you doing? You're causing us to argue about stuff.
How did you get into it, Ian, if you don't mind me asking? Like, where did it come from when you first started going down that rabbit hole?
Well, it was pretty much TikTok late night, and joining groups and talking to, like-minded people at that time. And do you know what? I did feel like I was part of something, and I felt they were making sense. And with the jabs, it did make a lot of sense, because the jabs were bullshit, the jibby jabs. I
agree to some degree, but only because of personal experience in my life with certain, like, I'm very with those. I don't like talking about them because
social media
doesn't like that conversation.
No,
but I understand what you're saying
with
the extreme with the extremes of what people were saying about them, I'm not on board with any of that. But when you get the people giving it that everything is 100% safe, it definitely isn't. And I know that for a fact. And I'm not just talking about those ones either. But that's a different, that's not the flat earth. Like to me, that when I was talking about earlier on about the conspiracies, there's an element of truth, but people get carried away and they want to outdo each other with drivel, basically.
But this, you've brought up a really good point, though, as well. I keep saying host, sorry. What's your name, buddy?
Matt, or Whatcast. The podcast is Whatcast. My name's Matt.
When it comes to anything, like let's say when they were using the word safe, it's like it's such a relative word, but it's the way they disseminated the information. If you spoke to a person who perhaps was like working at, like a scientist working in the vaccines, if you said to a scientist, is this 100% safe? No scientist would ever say yes. But like a politician might like, you know, say that out loud because they're trying to communicate with the public. But it's like anything, right? A car is safe, but it can still kill you. Yeah. Sorry, I shouldn't say the K word.
No.
It's kind of, it's a relativeness, isn't it?
Yeah.
And the reason I bring that up, if I can go on a tangent, if you don't want me to talk about this, Matt, please just say, because I know it's sensitive to the TikToky live.
Yeah.
There is a Scottish man who is on this app. He's come on live.
I know him, yeah.
You know who I'm talking about immediately. Okay, so I've talked to this guy, and I don't deny what happened to him, but what I've said to him,
I think I've seen you talking to him, actually.
Possibly, yeah. It's really, it's such a difficult situation because this man believes he has been damaged by those things.
Yeah.
Right. And that is statistically possible. Look at any of the scientists who've worked on these things in the past, and even the current one, there is a statistical chance that you could have an extreme adverse effect. This is the same for any medical procedure. In that, around the time that I last spoke to him, I was having a colonoscopy the week after, and I think there's something like a 1 in 5,000 chance that I could have like a breach. You know, when they breach a bowel, you could, you know, you could go for emergency surgery, whatever. If he is one of those people who is just one of those statistics where he did actually get hurt by it, and it's just a 1 in 1 million or 1 in 500,000, and then you're going around telling everybody that this thing is dangerous, you know, imagine if I had cancer and I had an extreme adverse reaction to chemotherapy, and then I dedicated my life telling everybody else that you shouldn't get chemotherapy because I was the 1 in 10,000, 20,000, 50,000.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying like I'm right, I just wanted to challenge him with that thought, but because he's so convinced that it is the thing that hurt him. Do you know what I mean? Like both are true. It could be that he has been hurt by it, or it could even be something else. I posed the question.
Likely that it was that, to be fair.
Yeah.
It is likely. But as you say, it's like such a... What annoyed me about the whole thing is you've got on the extremes of every argument. You've got so many people on one side that from now on and forever, everything anyone gets will be because they had that. And then on the other side, you've got people that literally laugh at people for even suggesting that there's even the slightest risk of anything coming from those. Do you know what I mean? So it's like, you're both fucking wrong. Like there is a fucking risk. It pissed me off when everyone would go on TV and say they were 100%. Like I know, not even particularly them ones, with my son, I know vaccines have got dangers. For anyone to be mocking anyone for being worried about them isn't the way to go. It's these are the risks. This is what we believe the usefulness overrides the risk. This is what they should say. So make your decision and do what you want is what they should have said.
Yeah, exactly. I think that the trouble that happened was is that they felt there was such a tight space. Is that they weren't willing to give people the full information.
Yeah, exactly.
And basically you've got, I blatantly refused my 14-year-old to have his jibby-jabby.
So did I.
Because I knew it was coming to an end. To an end of, well, whatever it was. Like I say, I don't like to talk like that anymore. I did actually see people's points, and I did see how they were making their argument. because politicians don't know the fucking answers from their elbows.
No,
that's it. You're right. Like, there's so much evidence from the past, Ian. Like what that person brought up the comment earlier. Like, do you trust your government with certain things? Yes and no. But you know, when we look at the pharmaceutical industry in America, it's a shithole. Like, they're out for the money. They've damaged people in the past. There is like evidence to suggest that it is plausible, and I agree with that. And I think that's why, you know, the way the government has communicated and the way they did certain things wrong is, again, like, it's damaged any future possibility of us handling another situation like this, because 100%. They handled it so fucking poorly.
Yeah.
But that is a problem. Yeah. And these are the sort of conversations that should be had, and should be had on TV. Like, this should be people talking transparently about these are the risks. This is the evidence. Yeah, but do you know what I mean? Like, this is what fucking annoys me about it.
But they're not willing to do that because they don't want to admit that they were wrong to a certain extent, even though they're being found out wrong. And the only trouble is with that is that, I don't like to say it, but a vast majority of the public are thick as pig shit, and they forget very quick.
Yeah. But then there's no reason for them to not be like the older generation especially would never mistrust anything the government told them to do. If the government told them to hop on one leg and they won't get COVID, everyone would be in Tesco's hopping on one leg.
There we go, trying to grab Andrex.
Not as everybody. That was ridiculous. There was one video that went viral from Australia about bog roll, and there was fights on the aisles. Like, what? It's just that people are so fucking. They're just. It's boggled my mind.
I mean, don't get me wrong, I did it. My God, I had about 67 rolls in my garage. I just actually, like, it was part of that. But then, as it comes around, you listen to different stuff. That's the danger of conspiracy theories. And I'm not saying that they're wrong. I'm not saying that they're right. You just have to make your mind up.
I know people that think everything is a lie. They think 666 is embedded into every single thing that's in the world. They think 33 is in every news article. They think that everything is a lie. The earth is flat. And I know people that have literally lost their marriages over this.
Oh, yeah, me too. Yeah, me too. I've met quite a few people on here who've been in the same.
I was so close.
Conspiracies, yeah.
I was very, very close.
Yeah, and this guy, as you said, everything is scripted. People say sports are completely scripted. Like, how could you script a game of football? Like, to someone to score a goal at exactly the 33rd minute? And do you know, like, that is what people suggest, because they're like, so distrusting.
This is why I always go to motivations as well. Like, there's two different, I think there's two kind of main conspiracies around that period, which was, it's just not as safe. Or there's the more extreme one, which is like, this has been done on purpose and they're trying to, like, you know, depopulate all this type of stuff. Mm-hmm. And I feel like when it comes to the motivation of that, I don't always talk about the science, because I don't even pretend to understand it. It's a case of, okay, who are the people in charge? Who are the people in power? They have all this power. How is their power maintained? A lot of it is through money. So if, for example, the world was suddenly, like, depopulated, a lot of these companies who survive on, you know, if you understand the basic principles of capitalism, it's all about growth, 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 growth. Mm. Your money is tied to shares, which you need to grow every single year for it to grow. Your pensions are all tied to this. If, for example, the world was depopulated, cut in half, you know, literally Thanos'd, all these people are in power, like the billionaires would tumble, they would fall, like that class of people would be gone because they wouldn't be able to maintain themselves, because so many businesses, the economy would collapse. And that's what I mean when I say, like, unraveling it all and, like, the motivation behind it.
Yeah.
It's like when something just doesn't kind of make sense.
This is the things that made me switch back on again, really. Whether I'm back into the Matrix or not, I don't give a shit. It just made me think that a lot of people are just wanting to be part of something that doesn't make sense.
Psychologists have said the same thing, specifically about flat earthers. It's about this idea of being a part of something in combination with you think you know something that most people don't. Mm. It kind of gives you this mentality. And psychologists have studied this a lot, especially more recently.
See, like, I've spoken to my mum and dad, which is probably the worst thing to do, because, like, obviously I'm in mid-40s, so my mum and dad are clocking on mid-60s, 70s, and there's no chance of that, and same with me, my wife. And it's almost like when it was in the height of me conspiracy madness, it was a buzz to say, no, I think I know better than you. And it was, empowerment. It gave you a bit of empowerment, I think. And I think that's the danger with it as well.
Part of the reason why I'm kind of on the anti-conspiracy bandwagon, like I like talking to people about them, is because at first I think even everyone here will know, like there was a point where it was kind of harmless, right? Like the flat earth was harmless and, you know, there was still that conspiracy floating around since the 80s, like, you know, like vaccines give you autism and all that type of stuff. Like that was kind of like always in the background, but not enough to kind of like affect society. But I think it has got to a point now where there's just a series of conspiracies which are actively harming society. One for me personally, I'm a gay man, and obviously the anti-trans culture war that's popped up over the last few years has turned into a conspiracy now. It's not just people fighting back against like trans ideology. It's turned into the LGBTQ community are coming after your kids. You know, I have been called in the last year on this app a P at least 3 or 4 times, a GRU multiple times, just because I'm a gay man. And I'm part of a conspiracy that is the LGBTQ community who are trying to change your kids' minds. In an active way, like we have an organization who in the shadows are trying to control and change everything, and it is becoming really harmful, and that's kind of part of the motivation why I engage, so to speak.
That's fair enough. That's a decent comment, but I do tell me down if I'm wrong. I don't need to sound like anything, but
ask anything. I'm not easily offended.
Okay, I can tell that. Good. So having people going into schools who are either transgender or, people who dress up as women.
Drag queens.
And they're going to talk to kids in nurseries and stuff. I don't agree with that. I think
there was a lot of that in America, wasn't there? That was coming out like last year around that time.
I've got nothing against nobody. Like treat everyone as your other, and as you treat someone, you want to be treated. But I think to a certain degree, like let them get to a certain age, and that's how I felt about it. That's
You said you've got kids, right, Ian? You said, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
Did they ever watch? Who's that guy on CBBC who Mr. Tumble? Did they watch Mr. Tumble growing up?
Yeah, yeah.
It's drag queen, like multiple characters in that show. It's him dressing up as a woman. That is literally the multiple definitions of like what a drag queen is, right? Kakis has just named one in the comments, like pantomime. You know, my dad took me to the pantomime, and me and my sisters when I was like 7 or 8. Loads of drag queens there. Like, any form of like a man dressing up a woman is a form of drag queen. Mrs. Doubtfire, that's a drag queen.
Yeah, yeah.
And completely. There are very sexualized drag queens. It's like any kind of like, you know, quote unquote art form, right? You know, the same with drag queens is that there are some very high hypersexual drag queens out there, absolutely, and they have no place interacting with kids. As far as I'm aware, most of the drag queen story time stuff was actually in like library settings and stuff like that. As far as I'm aware, feel free anyone to correct me. I don't actually think any drag queens have gone into actual schools. They've just gone in spaces where kids are. And it's usually kind of like the type of drag queens that Kakage is talking about, like the Damey pantomime ones. I have seen a few clips out there where there are drag queens in front of children and they're, you know, they might be dressed like a, you know, your average pop star in a music video. There was a drag queen who competed in the UK drag race, but she was an American queen and she was invited to a theme park to perform by the people who like own the theme park. And one of her, and they recruited her by watching a video of her get her, like a circular saw and rub it on her metal underwear so sparks were coming off. You know, very sexual performance. She was invited based on that performance. And
this
then there were kids there.
This was Southend. You're talking about.
Yeah, I don't know the specific location, but there were kids there. And yeah, people were saying, why is this drag queen put in front of kids? And it's kind of like, the drag queen was like, no, I was just hired to come here. I was hired off of this video.
Yeah, I didn't like that. I don't like sexualization in front of children at all, whether it's drag queens or anybody
who's
else.
Who's at fault there? Is it the drag queen? Is it the owners of the theme park? Or is it the parents?
Let them be kids.
If you know kids are going to be at a theme park, like it's a school holidays in the summer, kids were going to be there. You don't get some woman with like a fake cock with a angle grinder or whatever it was on it. Like that's not me, what you're doing.
The onus there is on the theme park owners. They hired the strategy.
No, you're right.
Of this event. Yeah, this is what I mean. It's about where do you actually place the blame. If in any situation, drag queen or not, if a school has hired somebody who's inappropriate and they come to the school.
Absolutely.
The onus would be on the people who are organising the event more than, and this is what's happened with a lot of these stories. I'm sure you all remember the child who was identifying as a cat in a school in Essex last year. Did you hear about that one?
I don't know. I don't know whether I ever believed those stories.
It wasn't true. So a recording was leaked to like the Daily Mail of two kids arguing with a teacher saying, I'm not calling them a cat if I don't want to. That was the recording. And this leaked out and it was like school child in Essex, teacher tells off children in a school in Essex for not calling a student a cat. It was a hypothetical situation that they were talking about. And everyone from LBC, left-wing media, all the way to the Daily Mail were reporting that there is a student who's identifying as a cat. And it wasn't true. And this is what happens with most of these stories that I get out about like kids and gender.
Well, can you see to a certain extent from my point of view that like say, I'm in my mid-40s, and I'm from an old school background, that if not so much pushed, but if it's, I know things have to move on and it has to be like, kids need to know about things, same as sexual health and sexual activity and all that kind of stuff. But if it's pushed too quick, they lose their identity as kids, whether or not, like, do you know what I mean? You have to like, that's like respect the honesty of kids and just let them be kids until they're ready for what's coming, which is probably about 2.5 minutes every 2 weeks.
do you not agree with that, Lewis? Like, do you think that you're not of the thought that, kids of a very, very young age know what they are at all, really?
Yeah, no, yes and no. I feel like, I've heard a lot of stories about people claiming that, you know, 4-year-olds have been, you know, taught about gender and all this type of stuff and being told that they can be gay if they want to, they can be lesbian, whatever else. If you look at the curriculum, your wife's a teacher, and I'm not sure what age group she teaches, whether it's primary, high school, whatever. Mm. When you look at the curriculum, as far as I remember when I looked at it last year, they start learning in like family, sex, and relationships, whatever it's called, in about like I think like year four, and they basically just get told at that stage. And this is what my teacher friends who told me to. I've got about three friends who are teachers. It's basically these people exist. And that's kind of where the book stops. And then it's when they get to high school that they actually then start learning about like some more advanced stuff. So when you're in year four, yeah, you'll get told, by the way, you know, some people have two dads, some people have two mums, and that's okay. That's the society we live in.
Yeah,
but
okay.
There has been, bearing in mind, we've got like hundreds of thousands of teachers in this country, enough to fill a city and put that city in the top 15 of this country. There are teachers out there who have, in my opinion, taught it in the wrong way. But most of the time, they are isolated incidents, and there isn't like a concerted effort to like teach people in an incorrect way. If that makes sense, that's my feeling. From
I think what you need to realise as well is that since like we was young, I was young, or like yourself or whatever, sexual like things have changed. So people are a lot more sexual active at a younger age. And maybe that's...
People are starting puberty younger as well.
So I didn't learn about anything to do with that till I was about 13 or 14.
Exactly. There you go. That's what I mean. It's like...
So you guys are older than me. I'm 31. You're in your 40s, Ian. And Matt, you're how old? Yeah.
In the 40s.
I remember my curriculum. So I specifically remember this because it's burned in my brain. Don't know if anybody else remembers this. When I was in year four, I had a teacher called Mrs. Renwick. She lived two streets behind us. We watched a video of a family who walked around their house naked to like desensitize us to naked bodies. And then we watched them talk about how she was pregnant. And then we watched her give birth, like full on, just watch this woman give birth when we're in year four. I'm not saying that's wrong or right, but what I'm saying is like, I was exposed to this level of sex education when I was in year four. We didn't get told about gay stuff then because this was only...
Why do you need to be exposed to it?
Not necessarily exposure, it's just about the idea.
Why do you need to be desensitized to it?
Well, on the birth inside and the naked body side.
At that age, you can be desensitized at any age.
I feel like the concept of birth and basic sexual reproduction should be taught at that age. Perhaps not to a point where you have to watch a woman give birth. I feel like that's a bit graphic and probably should be reserved for high school, perhaps, and not in such a graphic way. This was just still shot. Legs open.
Is that what made you a gay man?
You know what? Might be, Ian. It absolutely might be. It was literally like the Predator opening. It was awful.
Oh my God. It's not a nice sight, that, mate. It's not a nice sight. I can't see that.
But yeah, as far as I'm aware, what the curriculum specifically advises around that age is that people are just taught that things exist. And then when they get to the high school, they learn a little bit more about it, which is a society that I want to live in. And you can extrapolate that to any other social movement, from women's rights to, you know, racial issues that we've had in this country, that we do have to teach people about them and say that it, like, this is what our society looks like now, and these are the laws and these are the protections, and this is what society kind of looks like, to a limit. We don't have to teach people about, you know, fetishes and all that type of stuff.
What's the time? I can't see the time on my phone.
It is 20 to 5.
Oh, 20. I'll give it another 20 minutes. All right. Is there any conspiracy? Who's this person in the box here that's a gamer? What are you? Are you a conspiracy theorist?
Is it Gamer Dad?
Just Gamer.
Oh, I know Gamer Dad is in America.
He's got a Grand Theft Auto. Let's bring him up and see. Yeah. Oh, the hilarity of Gamer. I'm so glad that you came up. That was really funny.
You couldn't get his head to son. That's the trouble. You're struggling.
Just sitting there waiting for ages to do that.
Do you guys...
I think you're right.
It's awful.
I think people do that from... This is the divide. There's such a big... With social media, especially X or Twitter, or whatever the fuck you want to call it these days, like, you can't even write hello on there without someone saying, fuck off, underneath. Like, you just can't actually do anything on there at all.
It's such a
divide. And, like, well, people, what you're just saying there, that they'll jump on something that they want to be true to prove their point, and just cherry pick and pretend it is, and ignore the evidence that it isn't, and carry on with it anyway. And that is what kind of turned me off, because I was down the conspiracy route quite a lot, especially for the beginning of COVID. I started the podcast, and I worked with, well, I still do, with a guy that was a very big conspiracy theorist, and he's now calmed down as well, because you have to properly research this stuff to actually put the show out without bias, if you like. So you have to reset, not just cherry pick some evidence. This is weird. We're going to ignore everything that counters this. And because we've done that, I get so frustrated reading any of these conversations, because no one's willing to listen to each other. And that's like a main reason why I like doing these lives. I haven't done them in a while, but when people like you come on, Lewis, and you can give a different point of view to the general people that are coming through this thing, and you put it across in a open way, and you don't care, you're not going to get fucking all acting like fucking all bitchy because somebody's disagreeing with you. You'll just counter what they're saying. And this is why, like, Ian and you probably, I guess, wouldn't get on generally. Like, you've probably got different points of view, but because you're both being so open and willing to listen, then it works, you know.
But we're both northerners, well, so we'll like all unite. Red, where are you from, Ian, by the way?
I like red bobats. That's what I like. So that's why I started there. That's why I didn't want to disagree with you. I do like red bobats.
All right.
Ian, where are you from, buddy, if you don't mind me asking? Our general area.
Northwest.
I'm Yorkshire. You're my dire enemy, actually.
Well, I'm a Yorkshire man originally. I'm from Sheffield.
That's fine.
I bet my Yorkshire puddings are better than yours, though.
Well, yeah, they are, because I'm a fucking celiac and my Yorkshire puddings are gluten-free. So, there we go.
Well, fuck your Yorkshire puddings then.
fuck my Yorkshire puddings, honestly. But anyway, birds aren't real, so, you know.
Oh, God
damn. No, they're all programmed. They're all programmed.
I don't think I've come across anyone that thinks birds ain't real.
But you know the conspiracy started as a joke, though. Have you read into the original story?
Well, they were saying that because they sit on the electric cables and stuff, they must be fake, just here to spy on us. Yeah,
that's how they charge themselves. No, there was the guy who started the conspiracy. He got interviewed by the New York Times a couple of years ago when all the stuff was kicking off during the big P, and people were protesting in America and stuff. he walked around with a sign amongst all these people, like, just birds aren't real, just to kind of like troll them. And it just kind of went from there. And it just spiraled out of control.
Doesn't that show how fickle people are, though? I think that's a key point to any kind of conspiracy theory. You could do that, and all of a sudden you've got a following.
But that's what I think about Flat Earth. Like, I genuinely believe, and I say this to Flat Earthers all the time, they're always telling me everything's a psyop, this is a psyop, that's a psyop. If there ever is a real psyop, it's Flat Earth. Because you can, by association, discredit everybody that says everything. So if conspiracies are real, generally people will jump to Flat Earth because they don't trust anything else. And then because Flat Earth is allowed everywhere and everyone can see it and everybody can scientifically test stuff to disprove it, therefore that disproves everything else that person says. So therefore that would be the point of that PSYOP if that was a PSYOP. And I say this to them all the time, but they don't like to be told that they've been conned because they're the smart ones.
The biggest thing I got out of all of that was, is that NASA make multi-billion pounds out of the USA government. And because of that, everything was fake. The moon landings and they are the people that get millions of pounds and it goes into different things and you just see this and that. But then, do you know what? I watch Elon Musk and I don't know how you feel about Elon Musk, but I think he's an absolute legend.
I hate him.
Why do you hate him? I'm curious. I think he's a bit strange and a bit like a fucking robot, but I do like the fact that you're allowed to speak on his platform, regardless of your... Yeah. I'd rather know who I'm talking to and what they believe. Oh, I don't want things banned.
I could attack him from so many points. If it's the Twitter side of things, he's not on free speech absolutist. It's just his marketing ploy. He's already banned multiple people. He's contradicted himself in multiple ways through Twitter. And on top of that, he is spreading very harmful conspiracy theories just by simple retweets on there, being obviously not just the owner of the platform but one of the most followed people. As a person who I'm a big US politics geek, that's like my thing. I follow it more than UK politics. And I don't know if you remember this, but last year Nancy Pelosi, who was the speaker of the House in the US, her husband got attacked at home in San Francisco. He was after Nancy Pelosi because Trump has convinced his followers that she's part of like the deep state, yada, 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 all that type of stuff. So this guy turned up with the intention of kidnapping or unaliving Nancy Pelosi, but found her husband and attacked him. Elon Musk, within hours, shared a conspiracy that actually this man was his secret gay lover. And it was just like another ploy by like the Democrats. He also has called two different people in two separate occasions on Twitter a P word without any evidence, potentially with the power that you have on Twitter, potentially like either deeply affecting or ruining people's lives. And just again, more conspiracies. He's also recently sharing the Great Replacement Theory conspiracies on Twitter as well. Again, very damaging. Ties into anti-Semitism, ties into loads of things, the Great Replacement Theory.
I don't go on there much anymore, like I haven't done for a long, long time. I don't get any traction on this. It's a complete waste of time because he wants you to pay for the fucking service now to get any kind of stuff. But the
he
previous...
He could afford to prop it up himself, by the way, but he doesn't, just saying.
The previous people that owned it actually did repress news stories during the last election, though. That's no better than what he's doing. The Hunter Biden stuff.
So the reason...
Which one's better? The
Hunter Biden stuff is really interesting, actually, because when the 2016 election happened, there was... all 17 US intelligence agencies are verified, including UK, Europe as well, that obviously Russia was trying to interfere in the election. They were using bots, along with the Iranian government, to try and influence people's opinion.
Hang on. Verified by who?
17 different US intelligence agencies, include, and then on top of that...
I'm not saying I'm thinking, but you know, that's what people are giving their opinions off, and that's what people are thinking by. So there's another state to that as well, isn't there? There's another thinking to that as well.
With the Russian interference as well, we've had other countries, obviously including the UK, France, Germany, have all verified that Russia has tried to interfere in the election through disinformation, through social media, bots, that type of stuff. And also other independent intelligence agencies have also verified it as well. It doesn't mean like there's some grand actual conspiracy. I don't believe that, you know, like Trump was working with the Russians or anything like that. But after that, all these social media websites got incredibly criticized for allowing so much stuff, including the WikiLeaks thing with the Hillary Clinton WikiLeaks drop. Yep. And all of her emails, all that type of stuff. That dropped, by the way, in the same day that the grab 'em by the P tape dropped. Coincidence? Who knows? So when it came to
dropped, who dropped that? Because I don't think you can deny, I hope you don't try, that things like, not now, but Twitter at the time and Facebook are definitely left-leaning.
Absolutely left-leaning. But it depends on what actually that means and what that actually accomplishes. Because on Facebook, for years, a lot of the top trending information and all the analysis shows that actually it's more conservative topics that are actually talked about. It's definitely left-leaning, and there's absolutely a left-leaning bias. But I don't think it's to the point of a conspiracy.
No. But they should have allowed. It was the New York Post, wasn't it, that tried to put that story about Hunter Biden's laptop, and they just took it down and banned it and banned everybody talking about it. That's election interference as well.
The thing with the laptop is that it hasn't really provided anything. It's been investigated.
So there's no need to report. Why did they just not let the story run?
Because they believed it was Russian disinformation. That's the thing. Because the laptop came from Rudy Giuliani, who was traveling through countries like Ukraine and Russia to try and find information on Joe Biden or his family, so he could help beat Joe Biden in the election. If you remember, the first time, or was it the second time? First time Donald Trump got impeached was because when he rang the president of Ukraine, Zelensky, he asked Zelensky on the phone that he was going to withhold aid to Ukraine unless he would give him dirt on Hunter Biden, Joe Biden's son.
So we already know
that Trump and his campaign are trying to find information.
But I think the point I'm trying to make is that they wouldn't wait. If it was Trump, and I'm not a fan of Trump, I don't like Biden or Trump, I don't know where the fuck I would vote if I was in America, because Biden doesn't even know what day it is and Trump is a moron. I honestly don't know who I would vote for. But if a story drops on Trump, Twitter would absolutely allow that story. Whether they wouldn't wait to see if this is disinformation, they would have absolutely allowed that straight away and worried about the consequences later.
But again, because they thought it was Russian disinformation and they come under such scrutiny after the previous election, they all admitted after, including Twitter, including Facebook, that they were hypersensitive to this being Russian disinformation, which, by the way, it still could have been Russian sourced, this laptop. They still don't know to this day. Obviously, we can argue about whether they should have censored it or not, but at the end of the day, they are private companies. They have no obligation to maintain any level of
no
free
obligation.
Speech because they're private companies, yeah.
But because they're so popular, that can be seen as election interference by trying to make people think things and not think other things.
But again, don't forget, like, it's not just the fact that the social media companies suppressed it, the fact that Rudy Giuliani, Trump's advisor and lawyer, was the one who procured the laptop. So that in itself is election interference as well.
Can I also make a point that we are the Western world, right? And we do think that we are absolutely inferior to everybody else on the planet.
Inferior?
Superior, you mean?
Superior, sorry. and you have to take that to...
Oh, I think he got a call.
Oh, no, come on, Ian. I was on the edge of my seat here. See why I'm inferior.
I'll quickly mention, when... you go ahead, Ian.
Go ahead. Okay, thank you. So, just by all this Russia palaver and Putin and the interview and all that kind of thing, I think everything that's happened over the decades and decades, World War One, World War Two, all the world wars that have gone on in Russia, our world, America, I think you have to take into effect that Putin, what he's trying to do is not lose Ukraine as a Russian state. And NATO literally said, Ukraine, you are NATO now. And that was their end goal. And I think Putin's been pushed and pushed and pushed. I'm not a fan of Western or Russian politics, but I think Putin's been pushed and pushed and highlighted in our kind of world as a demon. Whereas all he's trying to do is look after his states.
Sorry, Lewis. I'll let you jump in a sec. Just to say this, I'm not an expert on this. I've heard all points of view on this conflict in Ukraine, and I don't. Everybody's got their strong beliefs, and I don't really know. Like I'm kind of like, oh fuck, what would you do? But I do keep coming back to this. If America was suddenly the world didn't like America and whatever, and Russia started to militarize on the Mexican border and the Canadian border, what would America do?
There we go.
Would they take that as a threat?
I feel like I've got two different things to go for here, though, because I want to respond to Ian, but I want to respond to you as well, Matt. I don't know which one to go for.
I think it's kind of the same point. It's a little bit different,
though, because Ian, you said that Russia was trying to protect Ukraine as a Russian state. It's not a Russian state.
It was in 1876.
Well, they broke away from the Soviet Union in like 1991, and an agreement was signed. They handed over all the nuclear weapons. Everyone signed the agreement, and it became an independent state.
It wasn't Russia that actually like agreed to that. They were forced into that by, I think it was the Second World War, and when all the states were divided up, Russia got the hard deal.
But at the end of the day, they are recognising the legitimacy of our country being an independent country, the United Kingdom, is the same legitimacy that the Ukraine has, which is that the UN recognises it. And that's how, under the system that we're in, under the UN, that is how we recognise the legitimacy of certain lands and certain countries. The Ukraine is, according to hundreds of other countries, a independent state, and it has been for over 30 years.
I don't think
along with Lithuania, along with a whole load of other countries, Georgia, all these people broke away from the Soviet Union and declared independence.
Yeah, but I don't think the UN are actually anything to stand by. I think they're a bunch of shit houses. I think they have got ultra motives and will stand by someone who think will prosper them better. I know they're supposed to be completely separate, but I don't think they're not.
That's a whole other thing with the UN. But again, Ukraine's an independent country and has been for over 30 years. It's got a different culture, it's got a different language. They also speak Russian, a lot of them, but they are an independent country and they've broken away, just like many other countries have. And they deserve that independence. Russia have put themselves in a worse hole by attacking Ukraine because, firstly, they did it on false premise. They said that, do you guys remember what Putin's original motivation was, what he said? It wasn't because of NATO. It was because he was saying that Yahtzees were unaliving Russians in Ukraine.
Oh, right, yes, original, I heard him say that.
That was his original motivation. But there's still no evidence that's come from that. There are some extreme right-wing groups in Ukraine who do terrible things, but not to a point. It was just a false flag, essentially. The whole like NATO encroaching on Russia type thing is they've had multiple countries next to Russia's border anyway for years, and by Putin making the move that he did, he then made it worse with Finland now joining. Like that's like 700 miles of extra NATO border. Is he going to go invade Finland now or any other countries? The only thing that Putin wants is he just wants to re-establish the Soviet Union.
I agree. Sorry, Ian. I agree with you. He hasn't done anything to this point. But I just believe that if anybody feels threatened and they feel like their enemy is militarizing across all of their borders, they would probably take action. Or at least at least it's arguable that they would feel threatened, right?
What do you think is the West's motivation for helping Ukraine?
Because Russia is the enemy, right?
Yeah, it's the idea behind it is it's a selfish idea. People don't actually like. I care about innocent lives. I will say that. But when it comes to the reason why the US and the UK and the European Union have just signed off a 50 billion euro package for them, it's a selfish reason.
Hold on a second. I just need to respond to this. I'm not saying it would be acceptable for America to invade Mexico. I'm just saying that's what they would do. I'm not saying it's acceptable for anybody to invade anybody. I'm not agreeing with Putin under any circumstances. I'm just painting the picture of why people believe that he's got justification. And America are not... America are not the peace people in the world, are they?
No, they're not. No, they are not. And neither are we. Neither are we.
Absolute warmongers. And that's why they made money.
They do make loads of money. They've just sent loads of been telling Israel right now to hold back, stop doing what you're doing. Oh no, you're doing all these wrong things. 2 days ago, Joe Biden signed a contract where he's just sent loads of weapons over to them, and just made. And then the US has just made loads of money.
Who makes money in a peaceful world?
No one.
Nobody.
But the point that I was making. It's a selfish reason why we're defending Ukraine. We don't want Europe to be destabilised. If, for example, if we think about in the UK right now, the immigration problems that we have, the small boats, all this type of stuff, it would be 50 times worse if Putin was allowed to continue what he's doing. He annexed Crimea, attacked Ukraine, he's attacked Georgia, he wants to reconstitute the Russian Empire or the Soviet Union, whichever we want to call it. And if he does that, he will destabilize the entirety of Europe to a point where we're going back to like World War One. And we're talking about tens of millions of people, migrations.
I'm going to have to go in a sec. But I'll tell you what's funny, though, what does make me laugh, is that when Iraq invaded Kuwait, we were right there to get there on the ground and bomb everybody and fucking destroy the area. Russia pop up. Russia invade Ukraine. Oh, well, let's take a peaceful approach to this one.
Well, the reason for that is that
let's all fly Ukrainian flag.
We can't have a direct war with a superpower.
No, I know, but that's just the definition of bullying, isn't it? That's just the definition of bullying.
We need to remind people, Putin is a guy who's been in power for over 20 years. He's changed the constitution multiple times so he can stay in power. It's well documented that he has squashed and unalived any opposition that he's ever had. Recently, obviously, Alex Navalny just, ended up unalived in prison, his main opposition guy that he already got locked up and tried to poison. We had the guy who got poisoned a few years ago in Salisbury, the former KGB guy.
That's politics, and that's why you shouldn't trust him.
That's not politics, though. When have you ever heard of recently of like Boris Johnson being accused of unaliving a particular person in another country?
Well,
when have you ever heard of imagine Keir Starmer getting locked up right now? Those things don't happen here.
I think it's likely that you're right, Lewis, but then a conspiracy theorist would say Stanley Mayer invented a car that ran on water and was unalived by poison in a pub one day, and he said that so would you accept that?
I've never heard that before.
That's a conspiracy theory. Stanley Mayer.
What we need to understand is that this guy is a brutal dictator who, classic, runs his state like a mafia state. All of the people who are underneath him, he pits them against each other, so no one's focusing on him. He is a literal dictator who has got hundreds of billions of dollars in the bank and unalives anybody who opposes him.
What do we do to dictators in the Western world? We kill them. Saddam Hussein,
The difference is, though, Saddam Hussein doesn't have the most nuclear weapons in the world. Putin does. He has more weapons. He has more nuclear weapons than the US.
Does he?
Look at the numbers. It's wild.
Because it's like a mutual agreement. Who wants to use nuclear weapons? It's just a literal, I've got one, you've got one. All right, let's play together. Oh. It's simple as that. You can't, as soon as one launches one, the other one launches one, and we're all fucking dead. What's the point?
Yeah, so it would be completely pointless.
The US has over 5,200. The Russian Federation has 5,500.
Wow, I did not know that. You learn something every day doing these lives. Thank you.
A lot of them are tactical nuclear weapons.
That's blown my mind. So Russia are harder than America.
Very interesting.
Well, yeah, that's why they spend $1 trillion a year on their military budget.
That's why we haven't attacked them then. Because they'll all be dead.
We'll be unalived.
I can't say dead on here, can I? Well, thanks for coming on, Lewis and Ian, and everyone else has been chiming in with their comments. Cheers. Thanks for everyone being polite to each other and disagreeing in a respectful way that we're all learning, which is good.
Right. That's what it is.
I'll see you all at the deep state meeting, right? Yes. So we can continue putting out propaganda.
100%. All right. Catch us all later. Thanks, chat. Follow me. I'll follow you all back. See you later.
I love each other. Peace.
Bye.
Adios.
Don't affect my wages.
There you go. So that was a little conversation on the TikTok live. If you're not following me on TikTok, Whatcast Podcast on the TikTok, I'm going to try and be doing these lives. I haven't done them much. You get a lot of dickheads coming through the lives a lot of the time. It's a bit of a waste of time, but this was quite a good, got a good sort of hour and a half's content out of this. As I mentioned earlier on, the flat earth debate that I had just before the conversation you just heard is on YouTube. So go check that out. One of my latest, probably the latest posts that'll be on there, or one of the latest ones. As I've mentioned, I'm going to mention again, the Daily What. Go subscribe or follow the Daily What wherever you get your podcasts. And there'll be a lot more content like this going on there. Smaller conversations, probably 15, 20 minutes from the lives, debates, whatever, different topics. I'm generally going to be putting them out on there. It's probably not a one-off. I've always said I'll do extra whatcasts if I've got the time in my plan to do so. But I'm definitely not going to go over the plan because it's just not beneficial to me in any way and not beneficial for the future of the show to get myself into debt making the show. So I won't be doing that. Please support us on the Patreon or buymeacoffee.com/whatcast. If you like the show, want the show to continue, please support us in all of these places. If you go to Patreon, you'll definitely get your money's worth because there's nearly 200 shows on there. A lot of them deep dives, most of them in video form, and extras now going on the end of whatcasts, like the Easter one we did last week, which was very funny. Hopefully you've enjoyed this. Let me know in the feedback on Spotify if you can feedback on it, and let me know what you thought of today's show, whether you enjoy these sort of shows. And please, if you do enjoy these sort of shows and you want to hear more of them, go subscribe, follow the Daily What. Wherever you get your podcasts.
You useless, spatty little tongue.
That radar! You can't help but... what's this? Let's find something else here. The Wheelstone Raider. I want the Wheelstone Raider to have an argument with Nathan.
Is gas going down? Go boom, boom!
You useless, spatty little tongue.
Doesn't go down! Are you dumb?
That's what it would probably sound like, right? So anyway, thanks for listening today. This won't be going out anywhere on video. I haven't videoed any of it. So it's just here on the podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts. Please subscribe if you haven't already to Whatcast. Please go subscribe to the Daily What. Push, 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 push. Patreon if you really want to support the show. Patreon.com/Whatcast. And if you want to support the show and don't give a fuck about hearing any other shows, buymeacoffee.com/Whatcast. I will drop the link for the Daily What because people still can't find it in the show notes. I will also drop the other links to support the show and etc. See you later.
You have been listening to Whatcast. Follow and contact us on the Twitter, the Book of Face, and the Gram of Insta at Whatcast with a K.